thing about him is all hype. He's all hype, you know, and I can't wait to November the 18th to give him a good, good hiding. You know, he went out there, he'd done a job on a guy. Who was it? Another Sanchez, Gomez, Lopez. Who was it? Another road sweeper? Hey, I've done that before. Now I'm with the big boys. I'm there. I'm there already. He's got to prove himself, not me.
Will you prove yourself, Chris?
On that particular night in question, I will show that I have what it takes. This man is nothing but he's the real hype. I come up the hard way. I didn't
prove myself, boy.
You had your time. Let's have some parliamentary proceedings, all right?
Oh, God.
I didn't come up the easy way. I came up hard. I didn't have Frank Warren. I didn't have Ambrose Mendy. You know, I came to Bury when I was 14 and 0.
But what makes you think you can beat Nigel Benn?
Because he's just a puncher. He's only got a puncher's chance. I'm a skill star. I'm a fighter. I can punch as hard as he can. I can box. I can slug. Or whatever he can. He only can. Everything is loaded in my favour for this fight. Because, in my opinion, although he's a great puncher, he has nothing else other than that.
Hey, and welcome back to the number one podcast in the sport where... Oh, man, the saga continues, doesn't it? This Conor Benn thing will seemingly never end. And deep down, I think we need it to end. And I don't know what that end looks like, but this is a young man that's lost. And he's been failed by everyone that was meant to be protecting him. He was failed by everyone who should have had his best interests at heart. And he was failed by all those people who needed him to help with their profitability and marketability abroad. So I have to be careful about what I say. So I don't want to be too definitive about the things I'm saying right now. But we can kind of take them as pretty much true. And then you guys can fill in the gaps. So the Daily Mail are reporting that UKAD and the British Boxing Board of Control have won their appeal against their National Anti-Doping Panel's decision. So not necessarily against Conor, but against the decision arrived at by the National Anti-Doping Panel. So now what we understand is the whole NADP process was about jurisdiction. And the question was, can the board recognize a failed test by VADA? And I found this to be a really, really strange question because there's a previous episode I did and we talked about the boxer guy who was on SAS Who Dares Wins, where they found steroids. And the board said, hold on, what's going on here? You know, you're still a licensed boxer and you've been found in possession of steroids. And I don't remember people saying the board had no jurisdiction then, but he didn't have the legal power that Conor Benn had. And maybe that was good for the board because they were able to say, look, we look into all matters that we need to look into. So let's just sort of focus on where we're at right now. So UKAD and the board appear, and we need confirmation of this, appear to have won their appeal against the National Anti-Doping Panel. But what they haven't yet done is determine whether Conor Benn is still suspended. He's still not licensed, but whether he's suspended or not. The problem is, you can't suspend somebody that's not licensed because he's not under your jurisdiction. And so there's an open question, which is, if he were to relicense with the board, could they take the previous behavior into account? I'd like to think they could. And I think the reason he hasn't reapplied for a license is he's seeking legal advice on what is the position on coming back and applying for a license. Are you seen as a fresh candidate or is it seen as a renewal? If I was the board right now, I would be shoring up those rules and I'd be saying, look, anyone who has previously held a license cannot apply for another one. Instead, you can only reactivate or renew a license you previously had, and that means you will be covered by what was done under the guise of that license. But let's spin it back. So in the summer of 2022, Conor Benn is, who knows, ticking over negotiating a Eubank fight. He's doing what he does, and he gets tested by VADA, and VADA find traces of clomiphene, which, okay, cool. Right. So this is communicated to everyone who's party to the agreement, as we've established, right? Everyone finds out Connor's failed the test. People move on and they go, you know, we're happy with the science behind it. You know, these things happen. Has a test a month later. Trace amounts of clomiphene found again. Right, so these two tests failed. Now, to the public, this wasn't known. But inside of the boxing world, it was known that Connor had failed two tests. Why? Because boxing's a very leaky sport. Stuff gets out all the time. So a lot of us sat on that information. And we're like, oh, okay. Hmm. And then when the fight was announced, you're like, oh, okay. You're going to work with this doctor. Hmm, but we know what's happened. And I remember sharing the screenshot and saying, people need to start asking questions now. 4 or 5 weeks later, the fight gets cancelled because it's like it comes out in the media that Conor Benn's failed two tests. And fans are quite rightly outraged. Number one, how the hell has he been able to fail two tests and then show up to fight week? Where's the governance? Number two, when there's all that noise of we might go ahead with the fight anyway under a different licensing authority, you're like, oh my God. Like, they're really trying to break the governing body here. And I think in that fight week, the board were fighting for their lives. So by the time that Eubank Ben fight is cancelled, we now know Conor Ben's failed two tests. We know he's working with a doctor who's known for operating in this space, and I don't think makes any bones about it. You can see the guys he works with, and you'd naturally draw suspicions yourself. So then it's almost mayhem and disaster after. He comes out swinging, that wasn't in my system, the lab got it wrong, and this, that, and the third. All these sorts of things happened. Interviews all the time, Hearn's trying to get involved but not get involved, but Hearn can see one of his cash cows messing up the bag, essentially, right? He's just struggling. Hearn's struggling to keep this kid in line. You can see that Hearn's like, look, someone's got to talk to him, because if he just keeps his mouth shut, keeps his head down, we'll get through this. But Conor was too prideful for that. So then we had the WBC say, well, he's cleared to box under our boxing program. He's given us the information we need, although they've never said what it was. I just imagine someone greased their palms. They kept it moving. And so then we hit this really weird place where Conor Benn says he's cleared to box. The board say, we still have questions. And until we get our questions answered, we can't grant him a license. And Conor's like, well, if I don't have a license, I don't have to answer their questions. I'll see what the lawyers say. And so they've gone through all of this legal rigmarole just for the National Anti-Doping Panel to then go, oh, actually, it would be perverse for an anti-doping body to ignore the findings of another anti-doping body because it's another anti-doping body. What should happen, and we don't know if this did happen, is UCAD should be able to liaise with VADA and say, show us your working out and we will see whether this is of interest to us. And I think there was a request for that not to happen from the Ben side. I can't confirm that. But I think they said UCAD have no jurisdiction to look at the VADA data because VADA are not considered a competent authority under WADA. And so we'll talk about this later, but it poses a question, what's the point of VADA then? And this is what people were asking for a long time. If you can fail a VADA test and carry on, why do people pay for VADA? Because if you remember, it was easy when we were catching the other guys. It was easy when we were catching the Jarrell Millers, the Eric Molinas, etc., etc. And then when it started to be our guys that were getting caught, it was like, what's the point of having VADA? And then that's when Hearn started lashing out, going, why don't other promoters sign up to VADA? Right? And so you had that whole messy scenario of what is a competent anti-doping body, and I wish the board had sorted this out. They've had nearly 2 years to resolve this. When are the board going to give us an answer on what is VADA's status within UK boxing? Because by law, they have to sign up to UCAD as to be considered a competent body, but they don't have to sign up to VADA. But they could easily, in their rules, say, look, we will address all UCAD fail tests, but we'll also address fail tests from other competent bodies. And then you sort of do an assessment of who those should be and what are the implications of failing this test. The board can do that well within their rules, and I don't think they'd be challenged for that at all. So as things stand, we don't know if Conor Benn is suspended. We don't know if Conor Benn will ever get a UK license again. We don't even know if Conor Benn actually needs a UK license. What we do know is the board have to go back to their paperwork. If they're not sat down with lawyers today in a meeting going, we need to start shoring up our rules to make sure these things don't happen again. We need to make sure that when someone fails a test, there's a very clear process that cannot be challenged, that cannot be questioned. And if it means that, look, the minute you fail an A sample and a B sample, the fight is off. The B sample must be tested within 5 days of the A sample, or 5 days of notification of the failed A sample. That's what needs to happen. The board need to go through all their rules, and they need to have an anti-doping section where we all know if someone fails a test, this is the process. The fight will not carry on. We will not leave it to the promoters to decide what happens. It is our sport as the governing body. Because I imagine if you're Robert Smith and you're seeing what the government are prepared to do with football, and football's a far better run sport than boxing, you'd be nervous now going, I can see them trying to regulate boxing, if not seeking to ban it. I still believe there's going to be a movement when Labour get into power to ban boxing. So let's just pause and go, right, so where are we right now and what's everyone's natural move from here on? If you're Conor Benn, you're in this deep, aren't you? Like, I spent all of this money, got a little one that's just been born. I need to be earning properly now to maintain this lifestyle, because you know those numbers are dwindling on his account and he's probably taking a loan based on future earnings, all this sort of stuff. You know, people do this where they mortgage their future earnings to provide present income. Now, that's going to be kind of hard without a British license, because those numbers aren't going to be the same. So that poses a question. If you're Conor Benn, what do you do? Do you go, right, let me take the hit, work with the board, however we got to work it out, and then reach a resolution that allows me to box, hopefully by the end of the year, if not the summer? Or do I go to the Court of Arbitration for Sport? Now, if you go down the CAS route, the Court of Arbitration for Sport, there are no dates now till at least June. And I'd be confident that June's pretty booked up too. And then you're going to lose everyone in July because of school holidays and etc. So you're not going to get a hearing until October, if you're asking me. You want to wait another 6 months? What are you going to do? Fight journeyman in America again? So Ben's only got two moves now. Capitulate or one last chance at the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Because he's just going to play back the same information he's got already. So I don't think he has to pay extra to experts. Just pay lawyers. The arbitration fees are probably max 25,000 Swiss francs. Which isn't, I think that's probably 30 grand. I don't know what the exchange rate is anymore. And then on top of that, you got to pay lawyers' fees. It's getting expensive at a time where you're not earning the kind of money you thought you'd be earning. Or you go and sit down with the board and you go, what is it you need from me? And the board, I think, and it's a good time to talk about the board's position, the board will say, look, we need to know how that clomiphene ended up in your system. Are you telling us the lab messed up? If so, show us the evidence of that. Or are you telling us you messed up? And I think this could be resolved in a day. And then the board can just go, right, so you're saying you messed up. We're going to drop our case. You can't drop the case. They don't have the money. We're going to drop our case. You're going to apply for a license and you're going to serve a 6-month ban. And what we're going to say is we've considered the time you've been inactive. I think this would all be done now. I think Conor would be fighting by the tail end of the year if he just swallowed his pride. But what does that do for your perception? I may get a hard time on social media for saying this. I genuinely think if Conor Benn said, right, clomiphene's in my system, I can't tell you how, I can't tell you why, but strict liability is strict liability. Hit me with whatever you want to hit me with. I think the board will say, right, yeah, you'll do a 2-year ban, and they'll structure it so he has to serve 6 months as a licensed boxer so the public can see that something was done. And then at that point, I think we will just go, he's had enough now. Let him crack on with his career. He's had enough. Let him move on with his life. If he keeps fighting this, he's just going to ruin his reputation, because I don't see what the winning position is. I said it way back when this came out. He's going to have to sue the lab if he's saying that they messed up. And he hasn't shown an interest in doing that. And like I said, those places are world-class accredited labs that are required to show attestations that they meet certain standards by their insurance companies. They will not be insured if they don't have certain certificates on their wall. And those standards are far higher than you'd need to run an anti-doping program. Because remember, where they test for clomiphene, where they test for trenbolone, where they test for Dianabol is the same place they test for cancer. It's the same place they test for, hepatitis, whatever. That's where they test for diphtheria, bilharzia. So if we trust those diagnoses and we live based on what our diagnoses are, we can't then say, oh, well, you got it wrong on this matter. No, these are world-class institutions, for God's sake, run by world-class academics and world-class technicians. You know what I mean? You're not going to win that case when your operation is essentially a light industrial lot somewhere in Essex. You know what I mean? Like there's a duality here. You got anti-doping operation, which is super slick, well documented, and then this absolute shambles that is happening in Essex, where no one knows what was taken where, when. Oh well, it could have been eggs in Ibiza, or maybe I sat on the back of a cow and I got clomiphene that way. But ultimately, the board just want answers. The public just want answers. Tell us why that stuff was in your system. It either wasn't or it was. And if it was, why was it? You've told us it wasn't eggs. So was it that you were trying for a kid and you got a bit carried away? Was it that you were trying to cheat? I think the public will accept an answer. But what they won't accept is the denial, because it's been debunked so many times and he's been asked to provide evidence. And he's chosen not to. Could have easily published a 270-page dossier so we could all read what this guy has. But that hasn't happened. He could come out now and he could say, here's the process, here's all the paperwork. Review it if you want. That won't happen. So how are you supposed to get the public on side? I don't understand that. And it's so, so sad and it's painful to watch a young man ruin his career because he's been badly advised by people whose only incentive was to use him as a cash cow. Where's his dad? Where's his dad? Like, this kid must be going through hell. Like, we forget Conor Benn's not from the streets. Conor Benn is not from the struggle his old man is. And that's a good thing. That shows boxing works. But when you're from that coddled, privileged, well looked after world, things like this hit you harder because you're just not used to these setbacks. And I think it's about to get more and more real for him the longer he drags this out. Because we've got to look at what it means going forward now. So let's look at Conor Benn's situation. I'm trying to be as objective as I can about this, but people say, you're biased against him. But Conor Benn had a really successful model, right? Next gen, live with your dad's name for a bit. And what you were then able to do was set him up in the UK off his dad's name, like his old man would show up and you're like, oh my God, baby Ben. Because it helped us hark back to the nights we had with his dad. He developed that similar style, which isn't how he started out, by the way. But, you know, the people with spreadsheets and social media reports were like, you might need to do it this way. And that worked when you were fighting people who had seen better days, your Chris Algieri's, who's the other guy? Did he fight Van Heerden as well? Probably dig up Vanis Matrosian as well. But I know he sparred him, so there you go. And that model worked. Yeah, because he could claim all these good names. Did he fight Vargas as well? While calling out names of guys who were washed up. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but these guys have seen better days. Khan has seen better days. Brooke has seen better days. And you're calling out those sorts of names. And he was calling out Eubank when Eubank was vulnerable. And that model worked as long as he had a license in the UK because he could make money in the UK. It was easy to make money in the UK. It was a model Hearn loved because for a while it worked. And that's why we got Campbell Hatton. Because it was like, well, if I can do one, I can do another one. And then when Kevin Mitchell's lad comes on stream, mate, this is easy money without having to try. I'm not having to build people's names up anymore. I only have to promote. I don't have to build fighters up anymore. So that was the Ben model, and it made millions. Why? Because people were suckers. A lot of boxing fans. How do you put it? Remember, a lot of boxing fans are vulnerable mentally and emotionally. A lot of boxing fans are people who struggle to get girlfriends or struggle to adapt in society. People who, when you ask them about school, absolutely hated it. And I've said it, like, boxing fans love boxing because it's a chance to be closer to the tough kid. It's a chance to be closer to the hard man that they were never able to do at school. But here they can. Because think about this. Imagine you were at school, and that kid who you knew could handle himself at school, there's always one, wasn't there, where you're like, nah, I think this guy could batter the teachers. But what you couldn't do at school was drop to your knees and lick his boots and tell him, I worship the ground you walk on. I'd love to be like you. You couldn't do that. Like, the ladies could, but men couldn't. As much as you may have wanted to. You know, we had lads like that at school. You know, they'd get suspended or expelled, and you'd see them the next day, and they'd show up on a motocross bike or something. And I know that there were lads who just wanted to, I don't even know, like, just worship them. You know, hold them, grab their hand, let them be dog walked and all this sort of stuff. Because in some situations, men want to submit to other men. And a lot of boxing fans are drawn to boxing because it allows them to submit, to worship, and to put themselves in service of another man based on his capacity to fight and his capacity to protect. They feel safe being boxing fans. So a lot of people like that. And that's why Conor Ben hasn't been treated more critically than maybe he deserves to be. Because this guy failed 2 drugs tests. And we're still 100% confident that he failed 2 drugs tests. There's been nothing to shake that belief. There's been nothing to challenge that belief. Yet still you have grown men acting like nothing's happened. And they just want to see him in the ring again. And that's what I mean. A lot of grown men want to submit to another grown man. Because then they feel safe. And they feel that I don't have to be a man anymore. He's the man for me, because now I don't have to be a man. I don't have to be a protector. I don't have to be brave. I don't have to be a provider. I don't have to get off my backside and be ambitious. He'll do all of that for me, and I'll live through him. And a lot of people like that. And that's why I say, beware who you argue with on social media, because you might be arguing with one of those guys, and you're never going to win, because the art of submitting is you know that person better than they know themselves. You can't argue. Like, they're so emotionally invested in it that it's a battle you can't win. And so that's what the whole model's built on. The whole Matchroom model's built on finding those sorts of simps, cucks, whatever you want to call them, and taking money from them. And Conor Ben was a big part of that, as has been Anthony Joshua. Conor Ben without a British license is a Ferrari with no wheels. It's almost without purpose, isn't it? You're just there revving the engine in your leather seats, but you're not going anywhere. You know, there's only so much money you can make having Conor Ben fight people like Luis Collazo in Port Arthur, Texas. You know, in a ballroom somewhere. There's only so much money you can make taking someone who isn't universally known and having them fight people no one cares about anymore. You know what I mean? What are you going to do? Have him fight Leon Lawson III in Atlanta? There's no money in Conor Ben if he doesn't fight here. That's why they're trying to hawk him out to Saudi. But the Saudis are like, Conor Ben's not a strategic asset. I mean, no matter how much Hearn tries to sell it, he's not a strategic asset. He doesn't have a belt. He doesn't have a legacy. He doesn't have anything. And what are you going to do? Okay, yo, he beats Pacquiao. Then what? You know what I mean? Like, then what? You know, dig up Mayweather? Oh, we'll offer money to fight Mayweather. He'd probably lose that. And so here's the real issue. Conor Ben without British license is no use to Hearn. It's just another overhead. Now, I don't know how much money Hearn, Sims, whoever, I don't know how much they're into Conor for, but without British fights, not getting that money out. You can traipse around the world, Australia, wherever, trying to find a market for him. It's not going to help you. So if I'm Hearn and I'm sat in that office in Moscow, I was about to do my Coogan interview, I'm saying to myself, I've got to get him his British license or I've got to let him go. You know, you guys saw the numbers, right? Matchroom's boxing profit, was it to June 2023? Was down from the previous year. Would Conor Benn make a material impact on that bottom line for boxing? 100%. If Conor Benn fights two or three times a year, it's profitable every time. That's in the UK, like not Port Arthur, Texas, not Oxnard, California, do you know what I mean? Not Portland, Oregon, not Kansas City, Missouri. Yeah, Jesus, not Savannah, Georgia. London, Birmingham, Manchester. That's where you make money with Conor. And if Hearn can't do that, what's the point? And at some point, Hearn's going to go, mate, you got to cop the ban. Like, time is money right now. And before you know it, you're going to be one of these over-the-hill guys that you've been fighting your whole career. I mean, you're going to have a comeback fight against Campbell Hatton if you don't get your act together. Because realistically, this guy could get to 28 years old and we're like, this guy hasn't fought for a while. And he still hasn't fought a name that we respect. So he hasn't got that credibility with the public that says, do you know what, before his ban, he was fighting real killers. He wasn't. And so you look and you go, okay, what are Hearn's other options? I think Hearn watching Dalton Smith show what level he's at, and actually I can put Dalton Smith in competitive fights probably next year and beyond. There's money here in Sheffield. It's not Conor Benn type money, but if we can get Dalton on the B side of a world title fight, then we can get to that Conor Benn money. And that's where I feel it's at right now. Hearn's investing in guys that he can rely on to deliver. So Steel City, he knows he can make a fight out of that gym. So credit to Grant Smith for making that happen. Look, you got top to bottom. You got Sonny Edwards, world level. You got Dalton Smith, who's just getting there. And then you got the rest. Who fought the other night? All these guys like Bostan, Levers, all these guys all the way down, Liam Cameron. You can build a solid card then. Hearn's gone back to his old model. Let's take over cities and start generating revenue that way. And if someone rises up and becomes that kind of world-level star, fantastic. But for now, I can't rely on Conor Benn, and I know my time with Joshua is coming to an end because that Saudi money can't last forever. So Hearn's already looking elsewhere. Hearn's already looking beyond Conor Benn. Like, he's not desperate to get Conor back online because he's like, whatever. And you saw his energy towards Dillian because he realized maybe Dillian can't get a license in the UK. Because I found it odd that Dillian's fighting in Ireland. And then it occurred to me, hold on. The EU, because Dillian's now a resident of Portugal. So I think he's under the auspices of the Portuguese Boxing Authority, if not the Texas Boxing Authority. So he can just leverage that and say, look, I can use a Portuguese license to fight anywhere in the EU. The UK is different because he'd have to seek permission. But when you're in the EU, you can just go to Ireland and fight. So it was a smart move by Dillian, but Hearn's probably seen that and gone, well, what British fight can I make for Dillian here? Because interesting that when Hearn was asked about Dillian, he didn't say, let's make the AJ fight next. Let's make the AJ fight next in Wembley. Didn't say it at all. So maybe Hearn's just looking elsewhere now and saying, I want a stable of people who are loyal to me. Get everyone under contract and we all work together. And nothing wrong with that. But I just don't think right now Conor Benn doesn't fit that model because Conor's kind of going into business for himself. But we're not going to know everything. I mean, give it a few days and we need to see what Conor Benn says in response to this. But it's going to be rough for him. Because as long as the Saudi money rolls in, Hearn doesn't need him. Boxing doesn't need him. We're moving on to new stars. Adam Azim, Dalton Smith. We're looking at Eubank now going, you know, who do we want to see Eubank fight? Is he going to fight Janibek? Everyone's kind of found dance partners and moved on. That leaves Conor without one. So what does he do? Hopefully he does the right thing. Because this can't keep carrying on. I don't want to do more episodes on Conor Benn. I just think, hold your hands up and say, what's the ban? You're not going to get 4 years. Just take the ban. Consider time served. Get him back in the ring. Because we need to contrast this, and I think boxing fans are now contrasting this with Liam Cameron. Liam Cameron was found with trace amounts. And one of the things So I'm going to share just what happened from an inside perspective. So when it happened that Lehman failed the test, my advice immediately was hold your hands up. Hold your hands up and say, look, you know, I associate with people who are in that game. It's an error in judgment. I've probably handled money that had cocaine on it and it's come through that way. I need to be better about the people I associate with. Here are the steps I'm taking to address that. I don't use drugs. I'm anti-drugs. I've been good prior to this. All that sort of stuff. Just put that out in the public domain. And then he'd have got a lesser ban. But Liam wanted to say, I didn't do it. And sometimes you've just got to just plead guilty, man. Like, because otherwise you're going against science and you're going against policy and procedure. And they're very hard things to defeat. Yeah, very expensive things to defeat. But the public will look at Conor Benn and they'll look at Liam Cameron and they'll go, Liam went through the process and came out. That's why we can cheer him now and we can wish him all the best and we can be excited by what he does in his career going forward. And Conor was the exact opposite of that. And in this country, in Britain, a country that prides itself on fair play and mate, just do what you have to do, we don't like that. We don't like people. It's like queue jumping. We don't like queue jumping. We don't like people on 300 grand a year living in a council house. And that, by the way, that does happen. We don't like that. You know, there's a sense of fair play in this country where it's like, mate, do the right thing. And I think Conor Benn needs to do the right thing now. And hopefully we can draw a line under this. But a large part of me thinks this will end up in the court of arbitration for sport. And it's just going to get messy. But the only person who's really suffering here is Conor Benn, because he'll get to 28, 29, and he won't have a career-defining fight. He will just be a marketing experiment gone horribly, horribly, horribly wrong. Even Campbell Hatton were now like, actually, quite rate the kid. Rate the kid because he went in there with someone, and he went to war with that person, and he showed that that's his level today, but he can come back stronger, and let's hope he does come back stronger. But we don't have that feeling with Conor, which is a real shame. We have a feeling that once he struggled against the little Frenchman, he felt he had to, you know, eat contaminated beef. You know, once O'Hara Davis tested that jaw, he was like, I'll go have my contaminated eggs. But I don't know. The public need to decide what happens next. Don't leave it to the boxers and don't leave it to boxing, because they'll take it to a place that the sport doesn't need. But I thought, let me just get my thoughts on the Benn situation off my chest. It's not going to move much now for no other reason. The Court of Arbitration for Sport can only adjudicate on how they arrived at the decision. Had they considered all relevant factors? Had they followed their own procedures and processes? The merits of the decision, the substance of the decision is what it is. They're just going to have to debate the form of the decision. And like, why waste your time with lawyers' fees for that? Basically, everything up until this point has told you failed two drugs tests. The public know you failed two drugs tests. Unless you can show us a way that says you didn't fail two drug tests, this is a waste of time. Maybe he'll learn, maybe he won't. But that's where I'm going to draw my line and say, take care, guys. Have a great day, whatever you do. And as always, if you enjoy the content, share it amongst your people. Make sure, you know, the right voices in boxing get heard. Take care.